This is Pastor Jim Croson for the congregation of the Rock Springs Methodist Church. You may wonder who we are. The answer is a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. We believe that Christ must be at the center of everything we think, say, and do. Our commandment from Him is to love one another. We believe that Scripture guides and informs our faith on a daily basis. We also look to the tradition of Methodism established by John Wesley as he walked his path of reformation and established a denomination based on grace. Our ministry reflects our call to follow Christ through mission, fellowship, study, and worship. You're invited to join us as we move forward in our faith journey. Please visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org or join us in worship 10:30 Sunday mornings at 1515 Eggers Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Croson on Sunday, August 9th, 2020. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. Please join us as we worship together.
Good morning. Welcome to worship, and God bless you. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Dear God, you led your people from captivity to freedom. You healed the sick and fed the hungry. Help us now to do likewise. Help us to reject evil and to be drawn to your love and grace, to know your forgiveness. As we join together in worship and praise, let us remember that this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
As we come with much going on around us. We come with uncertainty on every corner. A spirit of dread and fear, divisiveness, divisions, dishonesties and untruths. We come in a time when it seems all that we have known is not known anymore. We long for normalcy and the way things were. We long for that which is comfortable. We long for that which we miss. And while there's nothing wrong with longing for those things, as we go to the Lord in prayer, let us be real. It won't be as it was. However, that doesn't mean that it has to be worse than it was. It seems that's where our mind always goes, is if it isn't as it was, it won't be good anymore. But I believe that we serve a God who can make things better than they were. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, let us be reminded in our hearts and minds this morning that you are still God on the throne. You have not abdicated your position, your power, your promise, your presence. Christ still is seated at your right hand, interceding on behalf of us who lived and died, and by your power was raised on that third day. And Father, you are our God. Christ is our Savior. Father, we claim those things. We confess those things. And Father, we hope in those things. We profess them not only by word, but Father, help us to profess them in what we do. Father, we must come to you and seek forgiveness for the things we have done that we should not have, and for the things we have left undone that we should have done, for the things said that should have been kept quiet, and for the things not said that should have been shared. So, Father, forgive us, we pray. Forgive us in grace. Your love and mercy hold us. And, Father, give us strength to forgive others and to forgive ourselves. And, Father, as we look around, we see so many needs. It seems that all of humanity, from giant explosions, hurricanes, deluges of rain, earthquakes, fires, divisions, riots, burnings, shootings, child trafficking. Father, it seems that the devil is having a field day. If, Father, it's into this time that we Christians must not rely on our strength. So, Father, help us to rely on your strength and your power and your presence and your Holy Spirit in us. And, Father, we pray for ourselves, but we pray for our church. Let us hear your call. Let us see you at work and join you. Father, we pray for other churches in this community and around the world. Father, we pray for the needs lifted, the needs unlifted just silently upon our hearts. We pray for the leaders of our nation and nations around the world, that there would be a turning to you, a humbling and a seeking of you. Father, we would pray for peace. We would pray that we could call out and repent, and that you would hear our prayers and heal our lands, our hearts, our communities. And Father, we pray for those who serve our nation, from our military, law enforcement, nurses, doctors, EMTs, wherever they are, that when the phone rings, they come, the door opens, they greet us with compassion, gifts, talents, and abilities. Father, we pray for those who offer care into homes. We pray for those who are in hospitals, nursing homes, and shut-ins in their own homes. God be with them, strengthen them, and give them your grace and peace. And Father, now we'd ask that you would hear us as we join our hearts and our voices to pray as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Salvation is for all. Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 17. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news! But not all have obeyed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's start with a test. It's a simple one. There are two things that are necessary for us to know that we are redeemed, that we are saved. One is the gospel message, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that God sent him into the world, that through him the world might be saved. It is the life, death, and resurrection of Christ that gives us the word, that gives us the example, and the resurrection, the proof positive that this was and is the Son of God. That's where we begin to believe in our mind. And we accept that truth. And then, Paul says, we profess it. In other words, we claim it. It isn't that we say, yep, Jesus lived, Jesus is historic, we find him in the history books. No, Paul's word here, and the Greek word here, is about the acknowledge and acceptance of a fact. In other words, you can't. The demons know Jesus is the Son of God. They professed him throughout the Gospels. What are you doing, Son of God? What are you doing, Son? You know, over and over, that everybody professes it. And you know, how many of you get sick and tired of people saying, Jesus, fill in a blank, Christ? It bugs me. It's wrong. It hurts. It stings. Carrie says it. Stabs her in the heart. It's like a knife in the heart. How many of you feel the same way when somebody slurs Jesus into a sentence like that? Well, I've got news for you. They're putting his name out there. Not in a good way. But that means they have a knowledge somewhere of Jesus. And folks, let me explain something to you. You're better off to have never known than to know and deny. You're better off to have never known than to know, deny, and even profane the name of the Son of God and God Himself. Now back to where I was at. We confess it. The demons confess it. No, we have to own it. We have to believe it. We have to hold on to it. It has to be part of us, part of who we are, and we have to proclaim that that is what it is. A lot of problems, and you heard some of you heard my message last week, but I'm going to get down to some brass tacks with us in the next few weeks. It is time the church stands up and be noticed, one at a time. It is time that we were silent no more. But the problem is we don't know what to say. How many of you have ever led somebody to a salvation moment? How many of you have ever bent a knee and brought somebody into that moment when they accepted Christ as not only their fire insurance, but as their Lord and Savior? Folks, that's an experience every Christian should have. There ought to have been somebody in our life that we told about Jesus and through our witness, our honest and truthful witness, accepted Christ. Isn't it sad? It isn't just you. We do a lot of surveys, us clergy people, you know. How many of you like doing surveys and statistical data and median mode? We do a lot of that. Do you realize why the Christian church is failing today? It's because we don't know what to tell them. How many of us even know how to witness Christ to a lost person? Are we afraid? Remember, we didn't get this salvation that we would be afraid, but that we would be strong, that we would be bold. But what is it that we say? What is our message? You don't have a message of you. You have a message of what God has done for you. If you start telling somebody about you, you're going to lose it. Because they're going to look at you and they're going to say, I know you. I know you. The first thing you got to do is get you out of the way. You got to be honest because they already know it. Have you realized we're in a small town? I'm going to tell you something. This place is remarkable. It does not take any time for everything to get out. But then nobody said anything. You know, it's like, did you hear about that? Well, yeah. You know, but and then the little more goes along. But it's a small town. So it just gets out. But the message about the church, about Christ, not about me, not about you, not about the structure, building, or the location, we got to figure out what to say. Are you ready? How many of you think this is going to be complicated? How many of you think it's going to be easy? I'm going to break it down for you. It's going to come down to three things that Paul gives us right here. It says, how can they profess it if they never heard it? And how can they hear it if no one tells it? In Matthew, we get the Great Commission. Every one of us are sent. To preach means to proclaim, but it means to teach. Jesus says, go and make disciples. That takes a little while. How many of you realize that the longer you're a Christian, the more bumps and bruises you realize you've had to get over? The more struggles that you face, the more character defects you see in the mirror. They need to hear that. They need to hear that. They need to hear that what they're getting into is a process. It's about progression, not perfection. It's about admitting my flaws and humbling myself before God. So the first mission of every Christian is to tell them about what Christ has done. But if you ain't done nothing, you ain't got no testimony, have you? You know, if you don't have any weakness, if you don't have any faults, if you're just up there in angel territory with no sins or faults or failures, then, you know, whoopee, I'm so glad for you. I ain't there. But the first message to share with somebody is to tell them God loves even me and He wants to love you too. He wants to redeem you, save you, He wants to change your life. Now, that may get some people's eyebrows. They may not want it changed, you know. They might think, well, I've got to quit drinking, and they do. I've got to quit hanging out with that bunch of ruffians, and I do. But it's all good, you know. I am so glad I don't go to some of the places I used to. Anybody else say amen? Man, when I was in that mess, I thought that was the greatest thing in the world. I was talking about how many of you, I've heard that if you've had a couple long nights, that the morning was really bad. Anybody else heard that? How many of you think it's a good idea to go into one of those and drink so much that a toilet bowl feels refreshing? I mean, how can that really be fun? I mean, don't brag about it. Tell people what it was really like. Tell them that you splashed after you flushed because it was bad news in there. Tell them that God brought you out of that world. Tell them that you're still struggling with. Tell them what God is doing in your life. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice my sermon title's got a question mark in it. All can be saved, but all won't be saved. That's the next lesson you need to understand. Is when you tell them about Jesus, when you tell them about what Jesus has done in your heart, and that you've accepted Jesus, still working on you, still getting there, made some progress, a little more to go, that's your first witness. By the way, you probably need to know a few things about the book, you know, because they might have some questions. So I would suggest reading the owner's manual before you go out and start telling them about that and know it. But the first thing you got to do is tell them what Jesus has done. Tell them what he's doing through your imperfections, how he's changed your life. How many of you could tell somebody about your blessings? How many of you are willing to tell somebody where you've stumbled and God's picked you up? Where God has comforted you through a difficult... What do you think they want to hear? Folks, we're not in the business of condemnation. We're in the business of exhortation. We're not in the business. It ain't our pay scale. It's not what we're called to do. We're called to tell them about Jesus. We're called to witness about Christ. We're called to lead them in a prayer. How many could do that? What's wrong with saying, do you want to accept Jesus? Let me pray with you. Here's the prayer. Father, forgive me, I'm a sinner, and I accept Jesus as my Savior. Done. That was hard, wasn't it? It was difficult, wasn't it? You didn't do nothing except leading them in a prayer that wasn't even yours. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about, he says, the gospel message. Just tell them about Jesus. Tell them what he's done in your life. Don't dramatize it. Don't romanticize it. Don't make it sound better than it was or worse than it was. Just be truthful. They already know. But tell them about Jesus. Folks, the church has been silent too long. It's been way too long since a baptismal font was used to baptize a sinner or a creek or a river or a pond or a swimming pool. How many of you want to see a revival in this country? Anybody? A revival, a turning to God. How many of you want to see peace in our communities? How many of you want to see hatred done away with? That's God's turf. God can do that. Sometimes we got to get out and be his hands and feet and tell him about Christ. All will not be saved. All will not be saved. Sometimes you dust it off and move along. Proverbs reminds us not to argue with a fool or we become one. If they accept Christ, so be it. If they don't, it's not good for them. How many of you know somebody that doesn't know Jesus? Have you told them? Amen. Let us pray. Father, let us be bold in our proclamation, but let it be from the heart. Father, give us strength to tell people about your love and your grace. Father, let us be bold in our witness and gentle in our words. Let us be changed of heart that we may tell them of a life redeemed, not by our power, but through your grace. Father, may we witness of your mighty acts. Father, may we share the good news. May we share the gospel, a gospel of grace and hope, peace and unity, to cancel the sins, heal the divides, and love one another. And Father, I know I left this message hanging, but that's as it should be today. That we would ponder in our heart, where is God calling me from here? Not where is Pastor Jim calling me? Not where should I go to be of most advantage? But Father, how do I humble myself that I would be able to share the gospel message, to lead others to you, to bring them to be a part of the church, the body of Christ, not the building? For Father, we are all called and we are all sent. We're all called, we're all sent. Father, may your Holy Spirit move within us here today and stir within us a conviction of love and mercy, that we would share Christ in truth, compassion, and love with those who are near and dear to us. And Father, let us be strengthened in those who receive and who accept, but let us not be discouraged when the message is rejected, and we may even find that we are attacked for taking a stand on the side of Christ. But let us stand by your grace and in your power. Let us rely. Father, send us, empower us, strengthen us, encourage us, fill us with love, grace, and mercy through your Holy Spirit, that we can go into the world, the body of Christ, and to share a message of grace and hope and truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May we go to tell people about what Christ has done, to lead them to accept Christ for themselves. But may it not end there, but may we walk with them and help them in their journey. And now may God's grace, peace, and mercy go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.